the Imri Bina, Rav Meir Auerbach, who was the Kalush Rav and then went to Eretz Yisrael in the time of Rav Shmuel Salant. And he is one of the great poskim and one of the great mechabrim in Shulchan Aruch. And in one of the psichas to his svarim, Imri Bina, he talks about the panic of a person coming to learn who's frightened that it'll be so overwhelming it'll be impossible for him to understand the sugya. And he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that, he brings, fascinating that it is, that it's in the name of Reb Kiva Eger, when the Chofetz Chaim, the Sefer Shem Olam, Perek Yutes, tells exactly the same mashal in the name of the Vilna Gaon. But he gives a mashal on the pasuk, Sasanoich Elim Wasecha Kamotzi Sholol Rav, spoken about this many times. And the Chofetz Chaim says that the Vilna Gaon used to say that Sason is a lashon of Simcha, that's very precise. Simcha Sheyesh Achageha Tuga. It's a simcha that has at the end a certain measure of anxiety, distress, maybe even despair. Of course, it's interesting what kind of a simcha is that. But the mashal that he gives, there was a king who needed to conquer his enemy. The enemy was wiping out one city after another, taking tremendous amount of spoils of war. And the king, in his desperation, went to a retired general and he said, I'll give you one full day to go into the camp of the enemy if you conquer them and wipe them out. And you'll be able to collect whatever you want. No one will stop you. Even I, the king, will not take anything that day. And you'll become the richest man in the kingdom. And with that incentive, he won the battle, conquered the enemy, finished them off. The rest of them ran away. And he had this whole field of spoils available to him. Min ha-boker ad ha-erev. This fellow took all of his suitcases and bags and every container that he could get his hands on. And he went into the field, very excited, very enthusiastic, mole simcha, and the simcha kept growing as he filled one bag after another with diamonds and rubies and gold and silver. But in his incredible enthusiasm, he forgot what time it was. He went from place to place, and he was becoming richer by the minute. But suddenly he looked up, he sees that the sun is about to set and the day is almost over. And then he looks upon the whole encampment. This is all a mashal from the Vilna Gaon. He looks upon the encampment, and he sees that no matter how much he collected, so many, many times more is still left, and the day is over, and he won't be able to get to it. And even though he's rich, but he's not nearly as rich as he could have been. And he is filled with a certain measure of sadness and despair. So the Chafetz Chaim says that the going continued, and he said the Torah is vast, and the person is finite, and no matter how much he learns, and no matter how deep, last night I was at a siyum, and it was the yard site of a certain great Talmud Chacham who ended up learning in Yeshivas Chaim Berlin. He was a Baal Tshuva. He was originally a scientist, a very important nuclear scientist. Someone asked him after he did Tshuva and started to learn, and he was learning Basmada Atzuma. He died very young. So he didn't really fulfill his potential, otherwise you probably would have heard of him. But in any case, someone asked him after he was learning in yeshiva, you know science, you're an expert in physics, you turn to Torah, tell me what's the difference? He says, when I do a project in science, at some point or other it comes to an end. When I learn a Tosfos, the Tosfos never comes to an end. Tosfos doesn't come to an end. When we're going to speaking about Kol HaTorah Kula is endless. He says the Tosfos is endless. There's always more, there's always deeper, there are always more things to understand, there are always nicer kelim. So, and that, by the way, that's how they explain the pasuk, both the Imre Bina in the name of Kiva Eger and the Chafetz Chaim and Shem Olam in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Sasanochi al Imrasecha kamotzei Sholol Rav. Why Sholol Rav? Dafka. Imrasecha is your Torah. So that was the mashal, and that's why it's Sason, Simcha Sheshach HaRehatuga. I had always a question. What's so great about it if in the end you could be miserable? So, of course, you could answer, well, Enoch Nami, he was miserable, but he was also the richest person already in the kingdom. But I think it's more than that. I think the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a bargain, an offer. He comes to sell his wares, maybe by Matan Torah, and he says to Bnei Yisrael, you have a choice. I can give you something that's finite, and you'll be able to encompass it, and you'll rejoice with it, and you'll be very happy with it because you accomplished. And that simcha will be from the beginning till the end. There's no yagon, there's no tuga. Or I can give you the infinite. And I guarantee you that with the infinite, you'll always have a moment or a measure of frustration and despair. Because the finite, to contain the infinite, that's impossible. To achieve the infinite is impossible. But you can touch the infinite. And touching the infinite, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you really understand, is far superior than containing the finite. And this is really the Nakuda. So the Imre Pino says, if I'm approaching the infinite, he doesn't use that word, but that's the idea. If I'm approaching something that is so complicated and so overwhelming, I need tremendous siyata d'shmaya. And that's what he was davening for. I was thinking to myself, when a person comes into a Beis Medrash, he encounters a whole bunch of challenges. And that's one of them. But there's also another challenge. So let's start with the basic yesaidus of the tefillah, a famous tefillah that's called the tefillah of Rav Nechunya ben Akona. And of course, that's in the Mishnah in Brachas. And the Mishnah says, the fourth perek, Tav Chav Ches Amid Beis, Rav Nechunya ben Akona yemispalo b'knisosu lebeis ha-medrash u'bitziyoso y tefillah kitzava. Omulo ma mokom litfila zu, Omar lohem b'knisosi ani mispalo shlo yerad v'atakola al yodi. No one should be nichshol because of a psak that I give that's wrong or a pshat that is incorrect. To be tziyosi ani noisin hoidoa al chalki. I thank the Ribbono Shel Olam al chalki. It's an interesting lashon, not zochisi l'umay Torah, but al chalki, his chelik in Torah. The Gemara amplifies this tefillah, both of those tefillos, and says Tanu Rabbono, b'knisosu ma'loimel yirotzum fanecha Hashem leikai shlo yerad v'atakol al yodi. So far, that's what the Mishnah says. That I myself shouldn't be nichshal, even if someone else doesn't follow up halacha lemaisa. You can have a rav that paskens the shaila, tell somebody over the telephone it's kosher, and the gavela goes ahead and eats it, but it turns out it's not kosher. Or he could be learning the sugya and seeing the circumstances and say that it's kosher. Doesn't affect anybody. It's not lemaisa. So that's loy yerad v'atakola for someone else, v'loy kosher v'dvar halacha in terms of the dvar halacha itself. And then the words that follow, three words, v'yismuchu b'chaveirai. V'loy oimar al tomei toho, v'loy al toho tomei, v'loy yikoshlu chaveirai b'dvar halocha v'esmach bohem. That's the tefillah, and the yismuchu b'chaveirai and v'esmach bohem we will discuss in a few minutes. B'tziyosu mal oimar. Moidani lufanocha Hashem loikai shesamto chalki miyoshvei beis ha-medrash, v'loy samto chalki miyoshvei konis. Already everyone should remember that from any time he attends a siyum. This is part of the statement within the Hadron that is in the back of every Gemara. And that's what everyone says when he makes the Siyum. Shesamto chalki miyoshvei beis ha-medrash, vloisamto chalki miyoshvei konos. Who are these yoshvei konos? We will also, Bezos Hashem, soon see. Shani mashkim vehi mashkimim, ani mashkim l'divrei Torah vehi mashkimim l'dvorim b'teilim. Ani omil vehem amelim, ani omil mekabel socha, vehem amelim ve'eno mekabelim socha. Interesting, in the Siyum, we also mentioned the Pasuk. In the Pirush HaMishnayis of the Rambam, on this Mishnah, he says, Ushtei tefilos eilu choyva al kol mi shenichnas lebeis ha-medrash lilmoid. And this is fascinating because I'm not going to take a poll, but is this really something that in your awareness and your knowledge is something that everybody says when they walk into the Beis Medrash and they walk out of the Beis Medrash? I mean, most of us know this from the Siyum, this B'Yitziyosei Mahu Oimer. Not because they say it. I mean, it's not like you memorize these like Asha Yotzar or Alamichya. So what's the pshat? Shteit filoseidu choyva al kol mi shenichnas the Beis HaMedrash lilmoy. So maybe we don't paskin like this Rambam. We'll soon see. Halei tira. And the Rambam brings a raya. What's his raya? Sharei loy oma b'knisoso mahoya oimer. Shemashma shezerak sipo mashahoya oimer Reb Nechunya ben Akona. V'ti horushus biyadeinu. In other words, this is what he did. Like, who are your oimer in many of the places in Pirkei Avos? So that's what they said. It doesn't mean that we have to say it. Maybe it's just a lesson that we learn what it's all about. But not lav davka that we have to say it. But he says it doesn't say hoya oimer. Elo oma b'knisoso mahu oimer. What's a loimer? Im nichnas ha nichnas lebeis ha medrash mahu tzarich loimar. And then he writes, even though it's called tefillah ktsara in the Mishnah, it's not really tefillah. It's rather a statement of bakosh and shevach, but it doesn't have the dinim of tefillah. And it's very interesting that the Rambam feels compelled to mention this. By the way, the Rambam has this whole inyan in hichas brachas, not in hichas tefillah. So the Rambam continues and he says, it doesn't matter. There's no din of turning to the Mizrach, lagabi this tefillah. There's no bracha to Hashem. So why do you call it tefillah? The kra tefillah kfi ikar muvan hamila of the word tefillah shekol bakosha nikais tefillah. In other words, it's tefillah in the general sense, not tefillah in the specific tefillah like Shemona Esrei sense. So it's not like Havinenu or anything like that. It's simply a bakosha and a shevach. The Tur brings this in Ilchus Tefillah Siman Kuf Yud, and he says, "Bitziyasa yoyde v'yoyma amoydan lidfanach Hashem l'kai shesam t'chol kimesh v'esamedwish," etc., etc., etc. Ano mashkimim, hey mashkimim, ani amel v'hey mamelim, right? Ani amel mekabu sochov, hey mamelim, v'enu mekabu sochov, rotz, hey rotz in l'ber shachas. He has the whole thing. Interesting that in the Shulchan Aruch, he's mekatzer. I didn't notice that it says v'chulu. It does say v'chulu by the nichnas l'beis hamedrash, Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Yud. He says in Sif Ches, "Hanichnas lebeis hamedrash yispalel." He got some tenach Hashem lekinu kevasinu shloi koshu zva halacha v'chulu. V'chulu ubi tziyasa yoyimah moedan tenach Hashem lekai shesem tochel kemiyoshu beis hamedrash. Doesn't say v'chulu, but mistama that's what he means. The Magen Avraham says in Sif Katan Tezayim, "Varizal haya oimra v'chol boiker." And he used to add the following psukim: "Hashem yitin chokma bipiv dasu tavuna galinai ve'abita niflois mitarasecha." And then he writes, "V'nir ali the tefilas ma'ida ani v'chulu yoyma b'chol elav kol ha'isik b'toyra kol hayoyim." I think what he's driving at is not that you shouldn't say it unless you're learning a whole day. You know, toyrasa u'manusay. It means if you're going in and out of the beis medrash constantly, so you're going to say it every time you walk out. You say it in the morning, and then you say it in the evening when you finally leave the beis medrash for the night time. I think that's what he means. Mishnah Berurah Siman Kuf Yud Sif Katan Lamed Vav u'bitzi osay quotes the Rambam. So it's takapella that everyone doesn't say these tefillas. Interesting, another thing, that Rav Nechunya ben Akonis tefilla was basically copied, and it sounds like a collegium, a collection of Talmidei Chachamim that are learning together and paskening shailas, and a very high level, Reb Nechunya ben Akon. But then they say that this is something that everybody's supposed to say is nichnas the beis hamedrash. So I leave that up to you to follow up and see why is it that most people don't say these tefillos. Lo yekashu b'dvar halacha v'yismuchu b'chaveirai. How do you teach this sentence? So there is, of course, the possibility of learning that it is two separate bakashas. I don't want to be nichshol b'dvar halacha. And I also want to be successful, and people should be happy that I'm successful. In other words, when I won't be nichshol b'dvar halacha, I'll be kalei alam haTorah. I'll be learning it properly. I'll certainly be very excited that I finally have pshat, that I came to the proper maskana. But what about my chaverim? Are they going to be jealous? Are they going to be frustrated? So I ask a tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give them, so to speak, the siyata d'shmaya, that they should be happy with me. They should rejoice in my success. Okay? It's very nice. And the same thing, I'm spelling my chaverim, they should not be nichshol b'dvar halacha, and I should be happy with their success. That's one pshat. However, it's not the pshat of Rashi. Rashi says the following: Shaloi koshel v'yismuchu chaveirai al kishloini pilei ploi. In other words, his tefillah is one and the same statement. It's part A and part B of the same bakosha. It's not two separate bakoshas. Shaloi koshel, and when I am nichshal, what will it lead to? That my chaverim will be excited that I tripped and fell. Incredible. Who are his chaverim? I would strongly suggest that maybe he should get some better chaverim. Like, what is the pshat here? Yorda, or Yorad Rashi at least, l'saif daita shel b'nei adam, and it really reveals an extremely dark side of the human capacity. It's really extraordinary that a person sees somebody on top. It's a person that's a big Talmud Chacham, a person that is capable of doing great things, and they're jealous. And they don't mind that he falls down the ladder a notch or two. It's pilei ploim. So his bakosha is that he shouldn't be nichshal, and that in that kishloin, as Rashi says, I repeat, v'yismuchu chaveirai al kishloini. The Chassam Sofer apparently was not able to be soivel this. He's not shayach to that concept. It's not shayach that people should be happy when somebody else trips and falls in halacha. So he writes in the Shalos Teshuvos, Arachayim Reish Simon Reish Ches, the following. Gam betfilas, Reb Mechunya ben Akona became Reb Chanina ben Doisa. Somehow got mixed up. It doesn't matter, you know, that just shows that the Chassam Sofer, in spite of all the evidence to the contrary, was still human. The gam betfilas Reb Chanina ben Doisa, shalo yakashol dvar halacha v'yismuchu b'chadei, right? Loi mairi, v'loi nisiyore, meha misgabdim kloinoi chas v'sholem. He cannot be civil that such a thing is possible. Because he learned that if Lu Yitzuya, it's like Rashi, I mean, he's going up against Rashi, but if Lu Yitzuya, it's like Rashi, then he learned that that's his ikar concern. That I don't want my friends to be happy with my failure, with my tripping up. So he says, why is he so busy about his friends? Let him worry that he made a bad mistake in halacha. So my understanding is that it's not good two things, but it's two things within the same point. Yeah. So there's all story there that Rav Ilish made a bad mistake, and Rava corrected him, and Rav Ilish was embarrassed, and Rava said, "Adarabba va'adarabba, the fact that I just showed up at the right time to prevent this kishlon from becoming halacha lemaisa and messing a lot of people up is the biggest raya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach halacha." And that's Ani Hashem bi'ita achishena, that Hashem provides and comes quickly to the rescue of tzaddikim and talmid chacham. So everybody is human and he makes errors. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes that error should simply evaporate because I helped you and corrected you and I was there just punked at the right time. So that's a tremendous raya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you and you have siyata d'shmaya. Says the Chassam Sofer. He says, V'yoyse toiv hoya l'rav ilish ilu zikeo HaKadosh Baruch Hu shi'amad ala emes me'atzmai. So that was the tefillah of Chanina ben Doisa, of Reb Mechunya ben Akona. In other words, he's saying like this, Avada Gevis, it's a wonderful thing that Rav Ilish's mistake did not go public. Not because of his reputation, I'm talking about because of the kishlon of all the people that he would have affected. So the fact that Rava stopped him in his tracks was gewaldic, and it was a siyata d'shmaya. But it's not the ideal. The ideal is he shouldn't make the mistake to begin with. So he says that the pshat of the tefillah of Reb Nechunya ben Akona is, I should altogether not be nichshol bedvar halacha, that I shouldn't need the excitement of those people who correct me, that they helped me prevent it from becoming public. So in other words, he's taking the v'yismuchu b'chaveirai and he's taking it out of their rejoicing that I messed up because they have this dark side to them and they're happy that I fell. Chalila b'chas. This is such a thing as not nimtza b'chaburas chazal. Now what is it? They're happy that they were there to prevent Reb Nechunya ben Akona when he made the mistake of the consequences of that mistake. They're happy that they gave him first aid, like Hapsala suddenly showed up in the Beis Medrash and fixed the problem. That's the Chassam Sofer. But it's very, very remarkable. The Bartanura on Shalayera Takola, Shalayoba Mirshal Ayodik in Mephosh Mivraisa, Shalay Koshal Dva Aloch of Yismuchu Bichaveirai, Hareiro Shatavay Ayodi, So how is he learning? Obviously, exactly like Rashi. And he's making the point very clearly. That can't be like the Chassam Sofer. Because he's saying, I don't want to be nichshal because I don't want that they should be punished. I have an idea that Rashi and the Batanura answering the Chassam Sofer's question, like why isn't he more concerned shalei kashal? Because the pshat is, Avada Gevis still be corrected. This isn't something that in the end went public or that he was machshal strangers that he paskened for later on. In the Beis Medrash, it was all fixed. And who was it fixed by? By the Shat Levitarya with the other Chaverim, Ein Chanami. But they gloated over the fact that they had a chance to put him down a notch. That was the problem. So Ein Chanami, Le'akoshul Dvar Halacha, the Iker is Tak, according to the Batanura and Rashi, about the Chaverim, not about the Halacha. Because the Le'akoshul Dvar Halacha will be repaired. It's just a temporary glitch. The fact that they rejoiced, how do you take that back? How do you repair that? And that's what the Bartanura says, that I'll be goyim because of my kishlein, that they will be happy about it, and that will bring them a punishment min hashamayim. So you see that the Baal Tanur learns exactly like Rashi. I want to add something, which leads me to the next issue, which is, who are these Yoshvei Kranos? That they say, Shesamtu chelki mi Yoshvei Beis HaMedrash, lo samtu chelki mi Yoshvei Kranos. It seems to be a machla, lahavdil, in academia, that there's a tremendous amount of antagonism. It's like Kobal umnusona ben umnusoy type of thing. But it's more in academia, maybe even in the rest of the world. You know, maybe one bank teller can't stand the other bank teller, I don't know. But when it comes to, why is it? I think that there's a certain, and this is lahavdil, and then I take it a step further to B'nai Torah. The Chassam Sofer says it's not shaykh that B'nai Torah should be like that. You know, in the academia, there's a ranking. There's a constant ranking. You can be an assistant. You can be an adjunct. You could be a full professor. You could be a professor with a long list of people who gave a lot of money so that their name should be attached to that chair, etc., etc. You could be a university professor. That's like, you know, a lot of money, and you can do anything you want. They're happy that they have their name, the person's name, associated with the institution, etc., etc. It could be anything. And then the question, publish or perish, you know. And then the question is, are you going to get tenure? V'chulei, v'chulei, v'chulei. So there's a massive amount of competition, and it's not the kind of competition that you're in a race where you know that you're competing, or in a ball game where two teams are competing against each other, and that's what it's all about. This is without any reference to the competition, but everybody's in there to kill everybody else. There's less mandapunk. And this is a dover yodua. The amount of sinner and attempts to undermine in all kinds of ways of one professor to another is a dover yodua miyot. Of course, Torah is a mitigating factor, and people who learn Torah are supposed to be on a different madrega. But Torah has certain, you might even say chasroinos, as it were, you'll see what I mean in a minute, that even the academic world doesn't have. Namely, there is really no hierarchy that's fixed and structured. Famous Gemara in Hayriyos, person is able to count the number of tipos in the Yam, and you, Rabbi Gamliel, don't even know that he's in the Beis Medrash. He sits in the back, and he's starving to death. There's a certain anxiety or a certain amount of feeling of insecurity that B'nai Torah have, because who knows if they'll ever arrive? Because what does arrive mean? Be a Rosh Hashiva, get the covet of a Chosh of a Rav, very few positions. And ironically, the more B'nai Torah there are, and the more Torah is respected in the world because of that, the less likely it is that any significant Talmud Chacham will find his place in the sun. Because everybody's Roy Lekach, and how many positions can be filled? And then the way you fill a position, take Rabbonus. So you think that there's some supercomputer that's able to match that this person, with his kishrones, with his capabilities, this is the kehillah that he needs. And then once he gets into a kehillah, which may or may not be the proper kehillah for him, so then there's a board and there's a president, and they make his life miserable, but they're a klal. But they're a klal. I mean, there are yotzim in a klal. There are. There really are. And in every place, there will be certain individuals that will give not only the proper kavod, but will give the rav enough chizuk that he'll survive. But if the Chafetz Chaim is one to say that a rav that they don't want to kick out is not a rav, but if they succeed in kicking him out, then he's not a mensch. That's the famous word, whether it's the Chafetz Chaim or anybody else. So it just goes to show that it was like that everywhere. Between the wars and right before Hitler, one of the reasons that many of the significant Talmid Chachamim were bachelors deep into their 30s and maybe 40s is because they couldn't find a shidduch. Not just because they were masmidim matzumim. There's simply nobody was interested, and you know why? Because what's going to be with you? But it's not just a question of how you will have parnasa. It's much more than that. It goes to the core of a person's sense of his own importance, of his own significance. And rare is the person that is on such a rarefied madrega of kedusha and yirat shamayim that the world ceases to exist to such an extent that he realizes that the world doesn't need him, but he doesn't need the world either. That's the Rambam's person that everybody misconstrues, the end of Shemitah V'Yovel. The Rambam that Perek Gimel Hilchos Talmud Torah speaks so strongly against taking tzedakah for learning Torah is the same Rambam that says at the end of Shemitah V'Yovel that there are certain people that can totally rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these people don't ask money from anybody for anything. Not from Rosh HaKoilel, not from Gevirim, not from anything else, and certainly not from Tzedakah. So how are they mispanis? So Hashem says HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of them. What's the problem? So what does it mean? It means they'll find a Oitzer in the fish, you know. they'll go fishing and they'll find an Oitzer, a diamond in the fish. What's the difference, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Habishluchim lamokah. But that's what Rambam says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him that which he needs. And he quotes the Pasuk, Hashem Menas Chalki Atatoy Mirgoreli. A Pasuk in Tehillim. You are the one who takes care of me. If you are on that Madrega, I go back to what I was saying. If you're on that Madrega, then Ochanami, then maybe nothing bothers you. But if you're not on that Madrega, then there's already a big problem. So this question that's in academia, in their way and on their level, and Ochanami, if it was exactly like that, maybe it could be that Talmid HaChachamim would be on a much higher Madrega in terms of their, you know, Avedas Hashem and their personalities, their kindness, their generosity of spirit, yes. But the problems are much deeper and more complicated because there's a big question mark that hovers over just about every Talmud Chacham, what's going to be. So, even the greatest of the great, it's Lav Dafka, that they arrived where they were supposed to, that they were accepted the way they were supposed to, and understood the way they were supposed to, it's not Poshut. Which gets me to the point of Yismuchu Bichaveira. I think that when there are a lot of fish in a small pond, there's a big possibility of eating one another up, you know. There's a capacity of a person when he gets frustrated enough to be happy with the kishlon of chaveira, because it's a peculiar way of rising up a notch, at least in your own self-esteem, that you didn't make that mistake. He did. It's enough that Rashi should feel, and the Bartanura should feel, that the tefillah of Rav Nechunya ben Akona, which according to the Poskim, you're supposed to say every time you go into the Beis Medrash, should be a tefillah that my chaveirim should not be sameach when I fail, because I failed. Tefillah plan. But it reaches down to the, it's a truth statement, you know, it's a statement that, as tragic as it is, it's also a statement that says, let's not cover up, let's not make believe, let's call a spade, this is what it is. And you have to have siyata d'shmaya, you have to be moitzachein enough that your chaverim will be excited with what you have to say and be distressed when you fail. Which gets me to Yoshvei Kranas. So who are the Yoshvei Kranas? Yirasim fenecha shein chelki miyoshvei beis ha-medrash v'lo yehe chelki miyoshvei Kranas. Who are the Yoshvei Kranas? Let's take a look. Rashi says in Brochus, in Tavchav Chesamet Beis, Dibra maschul miyoshvei Kranas, Tupshatim. Chenvanim, merchants. So what's Yoshvei Kranas? Like, you know, you have Wall Street. What's Wall Street? The two merchants got together by the wall, and, you know, and they made a trade. So this is Yoshvei Kranas. They sit on the corners and they make deals. That's Chenvanim, merchants. Oy, or Amei Haaretz. Amei Haaretz also hang around the corners because they have nothing to do. And they bide their time with Sicha de Betela, as Rashi says, I am a Arich, Oiskin Bedivre Sicha. So we have two possibilities. So if it's Ame Arich, or Oiskin Besicha Betela, everyone knows the famous Rambam that says that people in the Sapra Lashon Hara in the end, you know, the idle speech in general leads to all kinds of terrible things, including Lashon Hara, and eventually you end up being Mizalzel with Tamid HaChomim. And you deny the words of the Nevi'im and ultimately become a Kaifer and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very, very strong lotion around them. So, we understand that a person say, Yiratzayin, and then say, I'm so grateful that my portion in life is Miyoshvei Beis HaMedrash, and not from those Amei Aretz, Sh'anu Ameilim V'heim Ameilim. Why is it called Ameilim? Believe it or not, it can be Amel in Sicha B'Tayla also. People glued to their cell phones and all the games. You ever see somebody? I don't know. I don't know much about it, so I'm, you know, I just make believe. But did you ever see somebody with these games? They could be spending 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. They forget that they have to eat, that they have to sleep, and they're just pressing buttons, you know, the Xbox or whatever it is, just pressing buttons. So I have heard. This is Amelin. This is Mamish Amelin. So Anu Amelim V'Heim Amelim. Because like you said, what do you mean Amelim? They're sitting in idle and they're, you know, they're with the sombrero on their heads and they're sleeping half the time, and that's Amelim? The Torah says, they're not Amelim. but because they're having the siesta. But there are people who are amelim in Shtus and Hevel. Big amelim in Shtus and Hevel. So he says he's happy that he's not from those amelim. Shanu amelim, heim amelim, onu rotzim, heim rotzim, certainly. And they're rotzim liber shachas. But what is it if... And by the way, there's an obvious Reb Nosson, Nuscha Aleph, Perek Chof Aleph. Maisa b'Rabbi Akiva, shoye yoshe v'shoyne l'talmidov. The niskar, masha osa b'yaldusa. You know, everybody knows that Rabbi Akiva started out as an Amoritz. It was a Mishpachas Gerim. His father says the Rambam was a Ger. And he started out as an Amoritz. So while he was sitting in the Beis Medrash, he was reminiscing and having tremendous gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where I once was and where I am now. That's an obvious Reb Nosson. The niskalo masha osa b'yalduso ama modani lefanecha Hashem lekai shesamto chelkim yoshve beis hamedrash v'loisamto chelkim yoshve kronos bashuk. You see clearly that he's referring to himself, that he's talking about yoshve kronos, those are the Yamei Haaretz. The Meiri also seems to say that. The Meiri in Avodah Zarah daf yitches amud beis. Har beit zarech odom lizor shloi liyos miyoshve kronos u'moshav leitzim v'loisayv dova ha-yeshiva laf hiluch ma'at. So you see that the Yoshe Kronos are these people who are good for ne'er-do-wells, good for nothings, Amei Arts. And many others for him write the same. The Sefer Be'er Ma'im Chayim, Chassidus Shesefer, Leitzonus V'Shekev V'Chanufay, Mikita She'enem Akavlim Te'ah Shpinov, V'Alkein Tiknu Chazal Hoidoa B'chol Yoyim, Sho'isam Chalkim Yoshe Kronos She'em Rotzl V'Ashachas Av She'enem Oisim Klum. They sit idly and do nothing. Omnam Ika Chetam B'Mesh She'em Medabrim Tomid B'chol Minei Tvorim B'Telim, etc., etc. So this is the Be'er Ma'im Chayim. There is, of course, the other pshat. In the other pshat, you have to understand, so what's so terrible? There are people who are Balei Parnasa. There are people who are involved in the Kiyum Ha'olam. Mitchila Boina Bayis V'Chakach Noisei Isha. There's an inyan to have a Parnasa. Misha Isha Sheh Notakerem Boina Bayis Eiras Isha. So the fact that Bnei Torah are different, fine. But he's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's not from their chelek, I could understand. But that Anu Amelim Ve'im Amelim, Anu Amelim Divrei Torah Ve'im Amelim Dvarim B'Telim, Anu Rotzim Ve'im Rotzim, Ve'im Rotzim Liber Shachas? So you mean to say everybody who's a chenvani is Rotz Liber Shachas? So what's the pshat? So l'chor, we have almost no choice but to say that the Yoshve Kronos that the Tefillah is talking about is talk about Amei Haaretz. Who are capable of having nothing to do and getting involved in all kinds of terrible kinds of speech and who are probably Sinei Torah, and I could have been one of them. So I'm thrilled out of my wits because they go Lebe'er Shachas Tak. But how could you say that it applies to Chenvan? I remember once when I was a child, I mean, let's say 9, 10 years old, child. So I went to from the west side, which where we lived, to the Lower East Side by train. There was a subway on 103rd Street and Broadway, probably still is. And there were a lot of steps going down to the train from the booth where you got your token. In those days, there were tokens, and you put it in. And the children had passes, and they would go through the... There was like a swinging door on the side. And the train, there was no announcement that the train is coming. There was no bells that were ringing or anything. When you heard the train, there was a good chance the train was almost on top of you, almost there. So this fellow was getting a token, and I'm showing my pass, and we're both on the other side of the turnstiles there, and we have to walk down, all the way down, and we hear the train coming. So we both ran down, that gentleman and myself, and we missed the train. By the time we got there, the train had already left. So he turns to me. His name was Mr. Shaikovitz, and he was 95 years old. And Mr. Shaikovitz turns to me, says to me, you can never forget something like that. How come I ran down faster than you? And without waiting for an answer, he says, you know why? Because I'm going to my business, and you're going to learn. And the honor rotsim, the heim rotsim. So this Mr. Shaikowitz happened to be a tremendous tzaddik. He was one of the early supporters of Rav Aaron Kotler. And he was a wonderful person. But generally speaking, well, if somebody who's 95 and still going to business, like, you know, that's also something. Maybe he was 94, I don't know. But anyhow, the bottom line is that the people who are immersed in their business and building a business, they forget everything else, and nothing else matters. and they neglect really important things. I'm not talking about Torah and mitzvahs, besides Torah and mitzvahs. The whole understanding of what they're on earth for and what they have to accomplish and where they're headed and what it's all about is completely skewed. And that's the rotzen. You see, if it would be chenvonim, that he has a job, he has to make a parnosa. So he gets up early in the morning because that's when the store opens. And he has to take care of his going to the mikveh or his davening or his learning. So he gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So this person is a tremendous tzaddik. But that person is not amelim. It's not that kind of amelim. He may work hard, but he's not amel because the amel means focus. You are harving in it, like amelus batayra. You know, you don't wrap your head with a towel so that you could make another deal and another deal and buy another chateau and buy another Lamborghini. It's not your interest. That's not what you're on this earth for. So that kind of chenvani is not the chenvani that he's talking about. He's talking about the chavoni that are amelim. He's talking about the chavoni that are rotzim. And those people attack a rotzim liber shachas because they're wasting their lives away. They don't do Torah. They don't fulfill themselves in mitzvahs. And there's a very good chance they don't even get stuck up. Because Mishiyesh Lamana wrote some asayim and they're totally immersed in this. All they're interested ultimately is a form of kavod. You just have to become bigger and bigger and have more and more. And that definition of value and the definition of life is totally antithetic to Torah. So therefore, it's anu rotzim v'heim rotzim and anu amelim v'heim amelim, even if it's talking about chenvod. Those are also the yoshvei kronos that are included in the tefillah. But I'd like to just add one thing, and that's very important. And then I found a very interesting thing. You know, the Mishnayos have a pirush to Pharisees Yisrael, Yochin and Boaz. Yochin and Boaz were two of the pillars in the Beis HaMikdash, but Yochin is usually the Pashup Shat, like the Pirush Rashi, and Boaz are his elaborate Hoysofers. So the Tiferes Yisrael is a very choshev of Pirush, and both his Hakdomas to the various sections of Mishnayos, as well as his routine Pshatim. From time to time, his son weighs in and adds something Mishalai. So this comment is in Boaz and Brochus Perek Dalit Ois Beis. And he writes like this. Should have said, Ribbono Shalom, like the Shulchan Aruch implies. That's it. Why does he knock others? Now listen to this, because it fits in very well with what I said before about the Yismuchu B'chaveray. And the fear and the anxiety and the frustration, and then we'll bring it right back to the Imre Bino and the Chafetz Chaim about connecting to the infinite, and that it's Simcha Sheyesh Achareha Tuga. He says as follows: Udaiti Haklusha Amar Kein. Why did he add V'lo Samta Chelki MiYoshev Kranos and all of that? Mishum Demisha Yoshev Chavush the Galmud. He's imprisoned and all alone. The Beis Hamedrash. He's hidden in the depths of this difficult, complicated sugya, this very holy iyun. He's sitting there alone and lonely, and outside in the street there's such a tumult, there's such excitement, there's so much going on. Lishtadel b'charitzus with tremendous energy, acharibui hamamun v'akinyonim. Be'emes ha-talmud chochem kozem ha-mizbodei, who's all alone there. K'she yotze midalsei beis ha-medrash ha-chutza nira be'enei atzmai. It's amazing what he says. Nira be'enei atzmai be'kolchkin be'enei b'nei beisai u'kroivav u'she'eroi zu'ishtoi k'otzel toman yodei batzalachas. Like a ne'er-do-well who's lazy, good for nothing, and just takes from others. I remember once I was walking on Riverside Drive in the West Side, sort of minding my own business, and this lady meets me. She hasn't seen me for 10 years or whatever. I must have been about 16 or 17 at the time. And she says, Arila, you know, that's what they used to call me. Arila, how are you? And all of that. She says, what are you doing lately? So I said, I'm learning. She says, I know you're learning. You're always learning. But what are you doing? So this is what he says. Person walks out into the world, and all the people around him, he says, Ibn Abayas, his krovim, his wife even. He says, what are you doing? What he's saying is that this tefillah is a reinforcement. It's a vaccine. But he says, as if to convince himself, that these Yoshvei Kranos, that's not where it's at. No matter what it looks like, no matter how successful they are, no matter how much they've accomplished, that the real is with them. And that's what he has to say. And why when he walks out of the Beis Medrash? Because you walk out of an air-conditioned room and all of a sudden you're hit by the heat. And it's just overwhelming. He walks out of the Beis Medrash, this rarefied atmosphere where everybody's dealing with these esoteric things. He could just have finished the sugya of Hetem Mitzdarif LeYisroch Veis or something. And he walks out into the street, and in the street everything is so real and so tangible and so functional. And everybody's, there's a hustle and bustle, which is exciting in its own way. Dvarim yordim chadrei botan, he says to himself, noifchim ruach chayim toich pnimas navshay, to instill a certain chiyus in him. Lahargish godol yakruso, to know how choshev he really is. Ukinesha yagbiya ufal kol ha-shayifim alafar eretz behavli azman, and he hovers above and beyond all of those people who are grounded in this world. While he's thanking Hashem al Chalkoi. And that is why we make it at the time of the Hadron also. We really accomplished something. But I didn't build a building, and I don't own a $20 million apartment on Park Avenue, and I don't have my own jet. I don't even go first class. All these fancy cars, every car is the same. Every car. Whether you pay $20,000 for it new, or you pay $2 million for it new. It doesn't make any difference. There are four wheels and a motor. The only difference, there is one car that's different. I always say that's a yeshivish car. The definition of a yeshivish car is four wheels and ulai a motor. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. So that's the only two kinds of cars there are. But the world is what it is. People spend millions and millions of dollars on advertising. Regular, subliminal, this, that, all over the place. Why? There must be a reason. Because it pulls the people in. And what pulls the people in? The glitz. You know, the fancy hubcaps. The it's mamish crazy. You know, the Jaguar. It's not even a good car. Well, the Mesa. It's not poshut. I just wanted to finish with the following Brachos Tzadikim. It's interesting. Brachos Tzadikim b'shar ha-gaiva. I quote, Hagaiva b'malas ha-chokhma hi mishubachas. The gaiva in the chokhma that is choshev, that chokhma is choshev, and I possess it on some level, is a positive thing. Shenema kim b'zois yishalol ha-mishalol haskel v'yodoy yoysi. So it says you can be mishalol in it. V'yoysif hoidol l'boile b'ochu v'gam deyo v'haskel l'midis toivois b'tfilas ha-chokhma. And he says this tfila, moida ani l'fanech shenasat t'chol kim yoshev v'yishamedosh lo'im yoshev konos. His heart be swelled with pride, that he has a shaychus to the darkei Hashem. So he's misgoy in it. He's going to want more of it because he prizes it. He considers it to have great value. So whatever he possesses, it'll never be enough. He's going to say, I've never done enough. To the extent that he's mekatzer, he's upset with himself. It helps his anova. Such a fascinating addition. He says, "Why? What does one thing have to do with the other?" So you could say, if he's machshiv Torah and he sees the other person has Torah, he's going to be mechabed. But I think it's much more than that. If a person has that amplitude, if he feels that it's gevaldik, that his life is so meaningful, that he's sitting on top of the world, people who sit on the top of the world can be very generous to others. People who feel mitzumtzum and shrunken, and that life is pressing against them, they can't be generous. So when a person really is mizgoy in the Torah and is thrilled out of his wits that he has that chelik, he's able to be happy when someone is successful who is one of his colleagues, and he will be distressed if the other person is not successful. at that moment. So memela, the two tefillos in a certain sense are totally zed lezed. B'knisaso b'tziyaso. That person who b'tziyaso is able to value Torah so much that he's thrilled out of his wits and cannot stop from thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shesam Techelki Miyoshvei Beis HaMedrash. For Isam Techelki Miyoshvei Kronos, that very same person would never be the kind of person that Sameach B'takolas Chaveiroi. Because he's so excited with himself and he's so happy. And that's what the Archa Sadikim says. Zois HaGaiva Eina Mazekas La'anova. He could have added the Eina Mazekas L'irikshe Oisei HaTalmid Chocham L'gabi Chaveiroi. But he does. It says, "Misayate v'goremus lo nismayach b'malos hatoivos, v'lismayach b'kvoid chaveirov v'lochus al kvoida." So that's what I wanted to say to you. There's one more thing I wanted to mention, but this is the hashkofa shabbos. This is the musa shabbos. It's very, very important. Everybody knows that he's going to be learning in the Beis Medrash for X number of years, and then what? And nobody has that kind of definitive answer, like a fellow that's going to Harvard Law School. There's no shaila about it. There's nobody. I never knew where I was going to be the next day for many, many years. How do you know? So I had a trajectory. So I became the chozer of the Rav. So that's a pretty well-positioned matzav. Why should I have become the chozer of the Rav? Somebody else could have become the chozer of the Rav. What, I was the only Talmud Chacham of the Rav Shi at that time? Not necessarily. So that's a mazel. That's a siyata d'shmaya. But there's nothing I could do to legislate it. You don't know. So what if that would not have happened? But I don't think anything else would have happened. And the same thing is true with the Kol Elyon, and the same thing is true with the Shir, and the same thing is true with my Rabbonus. And even if you make your own Rabbonus, which is what I did, that doesn't mean that you're in. They have to want to come to you. And you have to be able to build the building. And all of that requires unbelievable siyata d'shmaya, and no one knows. So where does it come from? The teretz is from the Rabbonus Shalom, of course. But so it's bitachon. But then why me? Kama Yosef Yikah Peshukah. And there are plenty of people all over the place. In Eretz Yisrael, thousands of them. In Lakewood, maybe thousands of them. That are major Talmidei Chachamim. And in Levitical Chanan, many who are major Talmidei Chachamim. And Lav Dafka, that they're accepted, recognized, and have the position that they need, or even if the position exists. So there's a certain anxiety that's fraught, that's built in. Harvard Law graduate, worth something or other, he got there b'simanim, or he got there b'mamon. If he got there b'mamon, then the same mamon that got him into Harvard Law School is going to get him into a very fancy law firm. And if he got there because of his kishrinus, so the Harvard degree, it means something. So you already know, because you went to Harvard, or you went to Yale, or you went to Princeton, or whatever, that you're on your way. There's a trajectory, and the trajectory has its own dynamic. It's not a guarantee of guarantees, but it's kimat. Ben Taira doesn't have any of that. Never did, and I don't know if he ever will until Yemais HaMashiach. Then it'll be called, it's Deyas Hashem, and nobody will have any wants or needs, so it'll be a different dynamic and dialogue. But until then, he doesn't know. So he has to constantly reinforce the value of what he does. And the incredible significance of being a Chaye Olam, not a Besochenu person. And if he doesn't do that, then it's very easy for him to fall and trip on the stones and bramble bushes that are all over the place, that keep talking to him, whispering into his ear, maybe this wasn't for you. Maybe you should be a little bit more practical. Maybe you should do something. Why don't you? What are you doing? Maybe you should do something. So that's why it's very important. I think that's why that tefillah, Anu Ratzin V'Heim Ratzin, doesn't dafka apply to Amei Oretz. It applies also to the Chenvanim. What kind of chenvanim? The chenvanim whose whole purpose in life is to make more money and to have more covet. There's a mitzvah to denigrate that, to reassess and to revalue on a daily basis the importance of what you're doing, the incredible importance of what you're doing. And, as I said earlier, it's especially so when what you're doing itself is fraught with a simcha she'esh acharei hatuga, because it's like this. If a person doesn't know what tomorrow will bring, at least he knows what today is in front of him. But when you go through a sugya, and you're finished with the sugya, and some big Talmud Chacham walks in, and he wipes the floor with you, I mean, in the learning, and you see that you haven't even scratched the surface. I have this tremendous nightmare that after Me'avah Esrim Shana, the first person that I'm going to encounter, and there's a long list, but the first one I'm going to encounter is Reb Kiva Eger. And I'm going to feel, after 5 minutes of talking and learning, like the smallest mosquito that ever was. And what's going to be? I have this nightmare. So you'll say, well, everybody has his chelik and everybody has to achieve what he has to achieve. So first of all, we never know if we did achieve what we were supposed to achieve. Mechateisa. But the Torah that the person is learning, forget about the Olam Ha'emes, every single day, it's never finished, it's never ending, even the Tosfos doesn't come to an end. And that could be very frustrating in many ways. But more important than anything, it could lead a person to the question, so if that's the case, that I haven't able to encompass it, and it's not mine anyhow, it's not in my pocket, so Mechateisa, I should bother with it altogether. It doesn't lead to anything practical. In other words, the two things merge. So that's why it's very, very important to understand that when you're given the privilege to touch the infinite, that that privilege is so valuable that it's worth all the frustration and all the simcha sheish achareo tuga, because Lemaisa, the general that I was talking about, he's still the richest person in the country. Never mind what he could have accomplished if he had another 50 days or 50 years. But he's still the richest person in the country already. And that's something that the person is saying, Moida ani lufanecha, when he comes out of the Beis Medrash. Just one more thing, very quickly. They asked the Ben Ish Chai the following question. It's in the Sefer Torah Lishma. Many of those truths he wrote himself to himself, so I don't know. But Simon Tavkuf Chavdalin, and it's interesting because there's no answer. Apparently the manuscript ends there or something. But this is what he writes. B'inyan ha-bakosh ha-shomer ma'acha ha-hadron al-si ha-mesechta moidim flecha she-samta chokeinu. In other words, he spells it out. Who are the Yosh Vekonis? He says, you didn't make me Boirim Va'ami Oretz. Is that correct? Is that appropriate? So we don't have the answer to that. But this is what I would have liked to answer if I could answer the question. There's a Gemara Maseches Menachos that Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Everybody knows this Gemara, obviously. Elohein, Shoasani Yisrael, which is the equivalent of Shloasani Goy, famous discussion. Is it in the positive or is it in the negative? Shoasani Yisrael, Shloasani Isha, Shloasani Bur. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Acha Ben Yankov, Sham E Librei. Reb Acha Ben Yankov heard his son make the brachas, Shloasani Bur. Amalei kulei hai nami, amalei velamai mevorech. He says shalos sani eved. You shouldn't say the bracha of shalos sani amaretz, shalos sani bur. You should say shalos sani eved. So he says hainu isha, because they're equivalent in what sense? In the number of mitzvahs that they're mechuyev to do. So I already said it in effect, because it doesn't mean I wasn't made a woman like many of the feminist taina. It means I don't have a minimal number of mitzvahs, I have a maximum number of mitzvahs, and I'm thrilled. So he says, well, that same thing, Shloasani Isha already. So why do you have to say Shloasani Eved? Right? So he says, Eved Ziltfei. And the difference is because in the Isha, it doesn't come from a Chesaron in Kedushas Yisrael. In an Eved, there's still a Chesaron in Kedushas Yisrael until he has a Geiris L'Shem Yisrael Gomer. So that's why it's a different Madrid. Rashi says, Kulei Hainami, the Mishabach. So what's wrong with saying Shloasani Amoretz? I have the Torah. So he writes in Rashi, says in Menachos, that you who are Mishabachtach Navshoch, the Incha Amoretz, right? Lo Yamin and Kulei Hainami, we don't say it. Bishlam Evikachavim V'Isha, Hayov Lavnei Mitzvah Ninu, the same number of mitzvahs, Shabim Avochas, Elabur Bar Mitzvah Su. The Amoretz is a Bar Mitzvah. In other words, what we're emphasizing, what's the whole discussion over there between Rav Acha Ben Yankov and his son? What's the point of all these brachas? According to Rav Acha Ben Yankov, the point of the brachas is simply to delineate their chiyuv. Not what they accomplish, what they do, but their chiyuv. The chiyuv of an Amoritz is the same chiyuv that every other Jew has. He's a Jew, and he's a male Jew. The chiyuv of an Isha and the chiyuv of an Eved is different. So that's what we're saying. And a guy, of course. Sheva mitzvahs bnei noyach. I want to point out that there's a Sefer Leket Yosher. He was Talmud Mufak of Rabbi Yisrael Isserlin, famous Sefer. And it collects the Minhagim and the Tshuvas of Rabbi Yisrael Isserlin, the Mari Isserlin, goes way, way back, the early Middle Ages. So this Magia is Meir, Shechocham Echad Motza Shnei Olim B'Ksav Yad Mehagniza B'Mitzrayim, that in the Gniza of Mitzrayim we have all kinds of interesting things. Some people say that they're always not to be trusted because that's what a Gniza is for, to put away things that are not reliable. So you know, yesh vayesh. Sometimes you put in the Gniza things that are just simply old or worn out, but they're totally reliable. And sometimes you put things in the Gniza which you have to be goinus. So here Hashem Shechocham Echad Matzah Shnei Olim, two leaves, V'ksav Yad Me'a Gniza B'mitzrayim Pleita Seyta Tefila Echad Yoshon Noishon, two pages from a very old Siddur, which is in K'sav Yad. U'bein Birchus HaShacha Hei V'shom Gamkin Birchus Shaloi Samtani Amor. The reason that we don't say those Samtani Amor, it's a bracha, is not just because of the explanation of Racha B'Yankiv that it's totally the chiyuvim that you have. An Amor is not something that Hashem makes you. Because you don't have to be an Amor. So you don't thank Hashem that you're not an Amoritz, you make sure that you're not an Amoritz. There's one way to do that, and that's by learning, not by thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're not an Amoritz. You always have to learn, and you have to learn more and more. I'm just going to finish something I say over all the time from Rav Aaron Kotler. I had a person lived in the neighborhood on the west side, the Bicham Eretz Sivyak, should be well. He's now an Elta Zayda, but that time he was a bacher still, and he was learning in Lakewood. And my father, who didn't like the idea that I had one idle moment to spare, so he hired tutors for me whenever I wasn't in yeshiva. So, I mean, it wasn't so oppressive, but that was his idea then. Sofu Leketura. Anyhow, this was Shabbos, and I mean, we learned, and there was a bonus also, because his mother, they had a shtibel, a gerish shtibel across the street, and his mother used to make a kiddush every Shabbos, and the chant that she made was mamish half-liver fella. I remember the taste of the chant a lot better than some of the things that we learned together. But her son and I, we used to learn like till about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning in his house, in the shtiebel. And then we would go upstairs and raid the chant pot. And his mother always used to wonder, like, how did it settle so? This big, big, you know, GI pot, you know, but how did it settle? Finally, she caught what's going on, and she made a little pot just for us. But he once came over to me, the Sitcha Meir Tzivyak, and he says, you know, Rav Aaron Kotler is going to come to the west side to be beside the Kedusha in one of the hotels here. I want you to come. I was very excited. And I thought about the bracha that he's going to give me and all the things that he's going to say, and I was thinking about it mamish for several days. I come in, and sure enough, true to his word, he brings me over to Rav Aaron. And he says, this is a young fellow, made some compliments about learning together with him and so on and so forth, and he's asking for a bracha. So he took my hand in his, and he says three words in Yiddish. Zolst no lernen. You should only learn. Which could mean two things. You should learn and not do anything else but learn. But it also means, you know, all you need to do is learn. And I was so devastated, you can't imagine. That's a bracha. You know, I know zolst no lernen, you know. Like, what kind of bracha is that? And subsequently I heard that Reb Brisker Rav used to also, if they asked him a bracha for siyata d'shmaya, for learning, he would say the same thing. You just learn. That's a bracha. It is a bracha. The bracha is to understand that it's up to us. That's the bracha. So all of this is to reinforce our understanding that when a person comes out of Beis Medrash and confronts the world, he has to denigrate the world. That's what this halacha is saying. And it's a chayva, as they state in the Pesukim. It's a chayva to make that statement. Not just when you're at a siyum and you've accomplished. Because even a siyum, at least you accomplished something. Although the Hadron says beferish, you didn't accomplish anything. You got to start all over. Oh, but at least you finished. You know, there's daf beis and there's the last blot and you're saying the last words and you have that feeling. Most of the time, person in the Beis Medrash doesn't even have that. I know a lot of times the yeshivas today, a lot of the yeshivas, certainly the first seder with the regular shir, they learn an extremely limited amount of gemara. They could be now from sukkahs on daf beis still, in certain mesechtas. And it's really scary. And everybody screams and yells, what are you doing? It's crazy. And every generation, everybody's screaming. The Maharal Miprag was screaming, and the Vilna Gaon was screaming, hundreds of years apart. And then it's just staying with Dovasov. And they're still screaming. The Chazon Ish was screaming, the Rav Shach is screaming. And today is somebody screaming. So why is everybody screaming? You know what the Raya is? That nobody's doing it. The Bekiyas, running through Gemaras. Because otherwise they wouldn't have to scream. Nobody says Hayitochein if everything is going well. It's only if people are learning one blot or two blot as man. But they don't learn one blot and two blot. They learn one blot and two blot in tremendous depth. And what they're missing in the x-axis, they have in the y-axis. But the point is that they learn many, many other things as a result, and many other sugyas as a result. But you see the depth of the Gemara, that if you want to plumb the depths of any sugya, you're going to end up with two blot Gemara under your belt. The Rav used to cover almost routinely 50 blot a year. 50 blot. And it was full of Torah, you see, from the Rishimis, if you didn't hear it yourself. And somehow, you have to be on that madrig, and you have to have that kind of talmud. And some Talmidim are younger and they're still getting, they're wet behind the ears. But that's a source of frustration too. A person comes to a fellow like that, it's not doing him any good if he says, that's all you learned? That's crazy. Because then the person says, so what am I doing here? I should be going to Harvard. I should be going to medical school. I should become a somebody instead of an anonymity. And I don't even know where my parnos is going to come from. So the tremendous chiyuv to be mechazek one another. One of the ways that we are mechazek is with the tefillah of Reb Nachunya ben Hakone. Onu ratzon v'hein ratzon. Should be matzliach, and you should only learn.